This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, there it is. I didn't have us on the radio, but now we are. Hello, salute everybody. Good morning. A happy Tuesday to you. Whether you're listening on ESPN 1320 AM, the free Odyssey app, or maybe you're tapping in with us in on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Good morning to the Chatty House gang's all here. And the Sacramento Kings, naturally, after our show, made a trade yesterday.
Of course they did.
We'll continue to dig into this for sure, but I am beseeching the Sacramento Kings. I know Monty McNair listens to the show very closely. Good morning, Monty. I would really appreciate it if the Kings would do something during our show one time. Just one time.
Just one time.
Even this time. It's not going to be a massive seismic trade.
No.
But whatever's coming down the pike, I would like to happen during our show, please. And maybe with a full segment left that we can really dig into it, not with 4 minutes left.
Okay, well, if we do that, then I can't whiteboard, because it'll have to be on the fly.
That's fine. You can whiteboard the next day. Want instant reaction to something.
I'm with you.
I'm sitting here yesterday, and I'm doing my post-show work, and D'Lo and Casey, and Coach JT was in here. Salute to Coach JT. Always does a great job. And somehow Jalen McDaniels came up, and as he's talking about Jalen McDaniels, Shams Charania of ESPN, weird, reports that Jalen McDaniels and a second-round pick have been traded to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yep.
The question immediately became, well, for what? What are they getting back from the Spurs? Is Jalen McDaniels an aspiring contract and a pick? Well, they must be. Must be getting something back. What is it? They didn't get anything back, James.
No, I mean, this is your classic find a team with cap space.
Yep.
Find a team that's under the luxury tax that can take on a contract and give them something to take on a contract. And it gets a little complicated. Like, we like to dive into the numbers here just because the salary cap is one of my specialties that I've, you know, as a writer, have kind of followed for the last, I don't know, 15
years.
You dive
deep into the salary cap machinations, for sure.
Yeah, I do. And so look, it's complicated, right? The Sacramento Kings walked into yesterday like roughly $1 million under the NBA's luxury tax, right? Mm-hmm. So I actually have created a whiteboard today.
Yeah, if you're watching, you get to follow along.
So if you're watching, you do get to follow along. Okay.
If you're listening, picture a whiteboard with all of this written down on it.
Yes.
Miniature whiteboard, like an 8x10.
Okay, so the NBA has the standard salary cap, which is $140.6 million.
It's probably like 10x12.
Right. Then they have the luxury tax, which is up higher. It's $170.8 million, right? And so what you want to do is you want to stay below the luxury tax unless you got a good team, because if you hit the luxury tax, then you become a taxpayer, not a tax recipient. So all the taxpayers, the money goes into like a big account, And then all the non-taxpayers get a split of that. So the Kings have been a, they've never been a luxury tax team. They've come very close, but they've never been a luxury tax team. Then above the luxury tax, we have what's called the first apron, which is at 178.1, and then the second apron at 188.9. Now, when the Kings made the DeMar DeRozan trade, what it was a sign-and-trade. And when you sign-and-trade, that means that you get hard-capped, and you get hard-capped at the first apron. So the Kings, under no circumstance this season, can go above $178.1 million.
Right, they're hard-capped.
Yeah.
That's not a Kings choice. It is an NBA rule that because they signed and traded,
yes,
they are like NFL-style hard-capped.
Yeah, you're absolutely hard-capped. You cannot do anything more, right? So what the Kings have done here is they traded Jalen McDaniels $4.7 million. And this dropped them down to 164.9, and that's with Orlando Robinson and without Boogie Ellis's contract. So they're currently 5.9 million under the tax, but it also puts them 13.2 under the first apron. So again, you can't do anything with the first apron, right? You can't go above the first apron.
Right, you're stuck there no matter what you do,
which is 178.1 million. But what the Kings just did is by trading Jalen McDaniels $4.7 million, they dropped $5.9 million under the cap, under the luxury tax, and $13.2 million around $13.2 under the actual NBA first apron. So now what they can do, if they so choose, is they've got options. They can sign a free agent, which there aren't a lot of free agents that are out there, and they still have their mid-level exception. So they can sign a free agent for up to $13 million and go all the way up to the hard cap. Got me?
Yes.
They can also trade for a player that makes 13 point whatever million and below. The mid-level exception is right at just about $13 million. So they can absorb a contract that is $13 million or less and 4 years or less, as long as it fits into the parameters of the mid-level exception. So they could do that. But now if they do that, they would be a tax team. They also, because now they're underneath the tax, they have like 5.9 million. So they could do a deal where they trade, let's say, a $17 million player and a $2 million player. So that puts you at 19 for a $24 million player. And you have that $5 million that you're taking back that's more. You can do that deal and still be under the luxury tax. So, like, there's a lot of things they can
do.
So
how much room do they have now? How much, if they maxed out, if they got a player that's the maximum amount they can get, what's that number?
Well, it's complicated. It depends on if you're trading a player with that or if you're just absorbing a player into the mid-level.
If you're just absorbing a player into the mid-level.
The most it is right around $13 million. They can take on a full mid-level exception
at
this point.
Okay.
Player.
Got it.
And go all the way up to the cap.
And that is where they're hard capped at the first apron.
Yeah, at the first apron.
If they don't want to be a tax team.
Yep.
How much room do they have?
They got a little less than $6 million.
Got it.
So they've 5.8 million, right around there.
Got it.
So
okay.
So they can play in that area. They can go out and try to sign, like we talked about. I talked about this with D'Lo and KC. So let's say they go out and say, we're going to sign Jay Crowder. He seemed to be the name that everyone was buzzing
about.
That's
literally the name I was about to throw out.
Okay. Perfect. So let's say you go out and you sign Jay Crowder.
Okay.
The Kings have the biannual exception, so they could actually pay him up to like 4 point something million, which would fit into that. But okay, let's say they want to give him the league minimum, which that's probably what Jay Crowder's signing for at this point. The league minimum for him is going to be around 3.3 or 3.4 million. But because he's a veteran, the league only counts 2.1 million against the cap.
Right. They treat him like a second year.
They treat him like a second year player.
Right.
Exactly. So Alex Len right now makes 3.3 million, but the Kings only pay 2.1 million for him.
Against the cap.
Against the cap.
Right.
They still pay the other money.
Right.
Right. So basically you could go out and sign two of those players, because you would still stay under the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
Or, again, you can go out and sign a much higher paid player. You could trade for a much higher paid player and take back more salary because you now have room. Are you with me? So there's a lot of ways in which they can use this cap space.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's really interesting that they did this today. Like, because in the grand scheme of things, finding a team that would take on a player like Jalen McDaniels and for a second round pick, and the Kings gave cash.
I also misspoke earlier. They did get a top 55 protected second round pick.
Yes.
Thank you to the people in the chat who corrected me.
They got a top 55 protected pick. So that
we'll be
means...
watching the Spurs closely this year to see where they land in the second round.
Yeah. So if they have a pick that's number 56, 57, 58, 59, or 60, it goes to the Kings. If not,
fingers crossed,
the Kings don't get anything for the deal. But that's one of those things where I think you have to, the mechanisms of the NBA, you have to actually give something. And sometimes what you would do is you would give the rights to like a guy who's in Europe who's never going to play.
Sure.
Right. So that you have to give something up in a trade. So look, the big question, Kyle, is number one, was Jalen McDaniels just not part of the plan? Which clearly he becomes not part of the plan.
Right.
I mean, you did give up things to get him.
Right. And that's where so that's where the initial reaction to this, at least my initial reaction, was so the Kings have now traded Davion Mitchell, Sasha Vezenkov, 2 second-round picks to get a top 55 protected second-round pick.
And like $5.8 million in or $5.8
I'm sorry, they also traded Jalen McDaniels.
Yeah. So basically in the combination of the deals, they saved, what was Sasha Vezenkov, like $6.5
million. Over six.
And then he got bought out, right?
Right.
So, well, he didn't even get bought out. He just like decided.
He bounced.
He
took $0 and left.
Yeah, exactly, which is crazy. I don't know if that would have happened in Sacramento or not.
Sure.
But then also Davion Mitchell, I think, was on the books for $5.2 million or something. Mm-hmm. So you saved roughly $12 million in salary cap space in all this maneuvering. But what are you going to do with that cap space? I mean, part of that went to DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. So we just have to look at it as that was a function of what happened during this offseason. But I think the timing of this trade is strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also, the need to go out and trade McDaniels now is kind of strange because you have a week here where rosters don't have to be set until next Thursday when you start the regular season, right? So up until that point, you're allowed to carry up to 21 players.
Mm-hmm.
So I know people are like, oh, they're trying to clear a roster spot. Well, as of right now, they could have just waived Broderick Thomas or Terry Taylor or Scalabissiere and cleared up 3 roster spots if they had some big trade, right? They also have other players that they could just waive and go away from. So the roster spot issue isn't a thing right now. Next Thursday, if they would have kept everybody, including Orlando Robinson, who's hurt and who's on a $500,000 guarantee, and Boogie Ellis, who's an Exhibit 10, they would have 15 roster spots taken, plus your 3 two-ways. Now that you don't have Jalen, now you're down to 14. But again, Boogie Ellis is on a non-guaranteed Exhibit 10 contract. You could easily just waive him and not have to pay him. I mean, it's barely anything you're paying him, right?
Right.
So the why did the Kings do this today, especially when you had to give up an asset to do this trade?
Right.
That's the puzzling thing, because realistically, Jalen McDaniels' $4.7 million contract fits into a lot of trades. So if you were going to get, you know, a month from now or in February, right before the deadline, and you had, you know, again, $8 million for Trey Lyles or $17 million for Kevin Huerter. If you were to take those contracts, add in Jalen McDaniels' contract, now you have a larger contract that you can, a larger amount of money that you're playing with, right? So, like, it's kind of strange, but at the same time, it does lend itself to make you wonder if they have something else up their sleeve. And if that something else, the other team may not want Jalen McDaniels' contract.
Sure. Is there any chance or I concern that this was just like a cost-saving move?
Well, like, of course. I mean, you can always think just, that. I mean, I know, like, we deal with Rory in the chat all the time, who likes to fight this battle that the Vivek is like the cheapest owner there ever was, which I don't like prescribe to. Like, I mean, there's not been a way in which I think the Kings could have taken on a bunch more salary.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn here in the next couple of years for sure. But I don't. There's no evidence for me to say definitively one way or the other.
Exactly. So, I think it's. You could say it's a cost-cutting move, but you have to understand the Kings sent out money in this deal. And they probably sent out, they're able to give up a maximum during once of $3 million. So they probably gave the Spurs $2 or $3 million to do this deal. And the Spurs turn around and they're waiving Jalen McDaniels.
Right, right.
Yeah, McDaniels is going to be a free agent like this week. Mm. And so people know the Kings cannot go back and they can't sign Jalen McDaniels. I think it's 6 months. There's a window. They can't sign him. Once you trade a player and he's waived, you're not allowed to sign him and bring him back. It's a Zydrunas Ilgauskas rule, basically.
Yeah.
Because the Cavs did this and then signed him right back after he was waived somewhere else to less money, but saved money. The other question I've got yesterday, which I'll make sure that we clear up.
Please.
People are like, why would the Kings not just waive Jalen McDaniels themselves? Why did they give up some cash and a second round pick? And the answer is, because if you waive a player, his salary still counts towards your cap. And so by trading him to another team, the salary now counts for the Spurs cap. They're waiving him. They'll absorbing
eat the 4 point whatever million.
Exactly, on their salary cap space. So basically, you paid a second round pick to clear Jalen McDaniels $4.7 million off your books.
So the Kings were the ones that facilitated this. This wasn't, because I initially thought, oh, maybe the Spurs just really like Jalen McDaniels or whatever.
Yeah.
But if they're waiving him immediately, that means the Kings were just calling teams with cap space and going, hey, will you take this? Because, which is why you think that there's got to be another move in the chamber.
Well,
they wouldn't just do this randomly.
Okay. So there's two things there. They could. They are the ones who like reached out clearly, like in this deal. This is, but what you do if you're a team like the Kings, and you're looking at your salary and you want to make some adjustments, you look around the league. Who has cap space? What is it going to cost me to trade this player? Uh-huh. The Kings and Spurs just did a deal, so they already have this relationship that they're working on. Because remember, Harrison Barnes was traded there during the offseason as part of the three-team deal with the Bulls and to get DeMar DeRozan in Sacramento.
Right.
So you already have some working relationship. You may have even had a conversation about this. And the Kings had to wait 60 days to do anything with Jalen. They could have traded him, but only as a separate player by himself, which is what they ended up doing. So, Kyle, like, you're right. There could be a reason why they did it today, that they have another deal lined up and this thing is just going to play out like very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a possibility that they looked at the Spurs. They looked at Jalen McDaniels. They said, Jalen McDaniels is not going to play for us. We would prefer to go with the young guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spurs have money today, but they might not have money a month from now. They might have money two months from now.
Right.
That well might dry up because some other team could look at the Spurs and say, hey, look, Minnesota is still like the first apron and they want to get lower. Like, you know, whoever it might be might want to drop their salary. So the Kings jumped on it now because it's like, okay, let's take care of it now. And not only that, let's give Jalen McDaniels a week to go find a new team before the season starts.
Sure.
As opposed to just leaving him high and dry like the day, you know, the last day before the season starts.
So that means there doesn't necessarily have to be something coming down.
There doesn't necessarily have to.
Because I'm on pins and needles for whatever's coming next.
Yeah, and I think that's what fans should be looking at, because there's usually a reason why you do something like this. And again, if you were going to trade Jalen McDaniels, there is potential for you to trade him along with other players down the road without having to give up that second round pick. Or maybe you do still have to give up second round pick, or you've got to give up, you go trade for some bigger player and you have to give up a first or two firsts, whatever it might be. But in those deals, you kind of need Jalen McDaniels' salary matching. And so in this transaction, the Kings did pick up like a $4.7 million trade exception.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've got that to play with as well, which gives them, they have a lot of exceptions to work with now.
Okay. So
they've got trade exceptions from the Vezenkov. I think they got a full $6.5 million trade exception from that.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, you know, a small one from the Davion trade, because every NBA trade is not what it looks like. It's not like a straight player for player or one player for four players. There are many deals within a giant deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're a lot more complex when you actually dissect how they're built.
Sure. So where does this leave the Kings roster-wise? They had 21 players.
Mm-hmm.
They shipped one out. Yep. My math, quick math, that means they have 20 now.
Yep.
Don't need a whiteboard for that. Do you expect them to fill that spot, or is this a, there's 2 days of preseason games left and they'll roll with 20?
Well, no, I do think that there's a possibility that they might sign guys and waive them. So that's a process.
Wait, why?
That's a process where if you're gonna have a G League player, right? So the Kings just, this perfect right here. The Kings just traded for Drew Timmy, right? But the Stockton his Kings G traded,
rights.
Right?
Yeah.
For his G League rights. They traded Jordan Ford and Deontay Burton mm-hmm. and a 2025 second round pick for
just
Drew
a
Timmy.
Clown show move.
Yeah. I think Drew Timmy's a perfect fit to run your G League team, right?
Yes.
He's like a little mini Domantas Sabonis. When you make that move, now Drew Timmy is your property
mm-hmm.
in the NBA world. But what you can do as a parent club, you can sign Drew Timmy, give him like a $200,000 signing bonus,
mm-hmm.
And then waive him immediately. But the signing bonus will come with a little asterisk that says, if you spend 60 days in the G League with our G League affiliate, because now you have his rights, you can sign him, waive him, give him a signing bonus for the parent club, and now he won't make the 90 or 100,000 as a G League player. He'll make that and an additional 200 grand to be part of your G League system. Maybe it's 50,000. Maybe it's $125,000.
Just basically a solid, giving him some extra cash.
Yeah, you're giving him some extra cash because...
And that doesn't affect your salary capital.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to count, but it's little tiny dollars here and there.
Yeah.
So
okay.
As opposed to being, you know, $5.9 million under the cap, you might be $5.7 million under the cap type deal.
Okay. So they have to cut two players now.
Yeah, they'll cut... I guarantee they'll cut a minimum of two players at this point, and they could cut more. I mean, they can start the season with 14.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that there's some area that they're trying to figure out, like two-way player versus, mm-hmm. you know, keeping Boogie Ellis on the main roster or trying to clear one of their two-way spots. So maybe promoting a guy like Mason Jones to the main roster, giving him a standard NBA contract, moving Boogie Ellis from his Exhibit 10 mm-hmm. to a two-way contract, and then he's making 500, I think it's 550 for a two-way player.
Yeah.
Maybe it's up to 600,000. It's right around. It's
going to make more money.
Yeah, it's half of a league minimum salary.
Okay.
It's very complicated, good. Kyle. It's complicated.
Sure is. Whatever the Kings do next, I hope it happens during our show. That would be so nice.
I totally agree. So I hope that's what happens. They do something now and we get to see it and like confirm it. And then, oh my gosh, this is happening and we get to talk about it.
That'd be great. The Kings weren't the only ones getting active in the trade market, though. The Las Vegas Raiders this morning
mm-hmm.
traded wide receiver Davante Adams to the Jets. Apparently, this deal has been in the works. It was not a response to the Jets' Monday Night Football loss. According to Adam Schefter, the Raiders are getting a third-round pick that can become a second-round pick. From my understanding, for that to convey to a second-round pick, Adams would need to be an all-pro and receive and be on the active roster for the AFC Championship.
Oh.
So he's already missed however many games, what, 3 games already?
Something like that.
It's going to be tough for him to be an all-pro. And it might be tough for the Jets to make the AFC title game because they looked about the same last night.
Yeah, they're not very good.
Turns out Robert Saleh wasn't the problem. Who'd have thunk?
Yeah, I also think the Bills weren't like tremendously great either. Like the Bills left something to be decided. And I know they didn't have James Cook. And they were already, because of their summer purge, they're already down to like, mm-hmm. you know, guys that you're trying to bring up as wide receivers, mm-hmm. you know, sort of what the Chiefs did last year. But losing Cook is pretty substantial for them with the turf toe.
Yeah. So I want to get to them in a second. But I think this is I'm happy the Raiders did this, and I'm happy the Raiders recognized this. And did what they had to do to, okay, they're not eating any of his salary. The Jets are taking on all of his salary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad the Raiders didn't just hang on to Davante Adams because they wanted a surefire second-round pick for him. Either a second-round pick or we're not giving him up. Like, this is a player that was not going to be part of your program for much longer.
Yeah.
Just cut your losses now. You take a conditional third-round pick. And you call it good.
Yeah, this is one of those like hindsight 2020 moves, right? You should have traded him this offseason. You should have traded him on draft day. Like we keep saying this with the Raiders, you should have. Maybe you would have been able to go up and get a quarterback using Devontae Adams as a trade chip.
But I also think the Raiders were thinking they could contend this year.
Okay.
Like they went out, they have Max Crosby, they had Malcolm Kuntz, they go out and they sign Christian Wilkins. They look like a team that, hey, if you get a couple of these things to kind of go right, but they had to get rid of Devontae.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is the first of a couple of moves. I don't think they're trading Max Crosby. I've already seen that floated a lot. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden the Raiders are now having a fire sale and any good player they have is going to be available. Max Crosby is young. His contract is not crazy expensive. He is a cornerstone of your defense for the next like 8 to 10 years. Trading him for anything less than if some team calls and says, yeah, we'll give you 4 first-round picks for Max Crosby, then okay, maybe you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you would do it at that point.
Yeah, you would.
But no team is going to do that. I'm sure the teams are going to call. I'm sure the Lions have called. Said, we'll give you a 2nd-round pick for him.
Yeah.
We'll give you a 1st-round pick and I forget, they have an edge rusher who has been disappointing for them. We'll give you James Houston, I think. Yeah, we'll give you James Houston and a second. I know you're not just gonna give away Max Crosby.
No, but
that's a defensive player of the year candidate.
Yeah, I mean, where would you at the like? I know Christian Wilkins is on the injured reserve right now, but he's a guy that you would kind of circle right and say maybe.
I don't know what his contract looks like.
Okay,
but maybe in the off season.
Yeah, it's just so tough. NFL contracts are so weird.
Man, he's making a ton of money.
Yeah.
So I think it was the right move to move on from Devontae Adams. If teams want to call about other players, teams say, yeah, hey, Robert Spillane looks great. We need a linebacker. What do you take for him? Yeah, see if you can fleece the team. But this just all goes back to what we talked about yesterday with them. Everything for Vegas this year now is about next year. And the year after that.
Well, this is a problem that I have with them, though. You're always hoping that that's what they believe, too. But but then last year, you know, again, they had the 4th pick in the draft, and then they kept winning, and they ended up with, what, the 13th pick.
Well, yeah, you're not, but that's...
I get it. You're battling vibes and building something versus... Well,
your players aren't going to quit.
Yeah.
That's kind of... And it makes sense. Like, Antonio Pierce came in and... Man, okay, the culture was changing, and they go in and they beat the Chiefs in Kansas City on Christmas, and you're going, okay, hey, this team is close. Let's get Christian Wilkins in here. Yeah, hey, Gardner Minshew, he can steer the ship because it's Jacoby Myers and Devontae Adams. They have Brock Bowers, and you could kind of see them talking themselves into it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the right move, right thing to do for the Raiders and Devontae Adams. They send him to the New York Jets. I don't think Devontae Adams is going to fix the Jets.
No. I mean, he might help them, but I don't think he's going to fix them.
Yeah, I think there's a deeper issue there. And maybe he has such a great rapport with Aaron Rodgers and their offense suddenly starts cooking. I just don't... I've not seen anything from the Jets this year, including last night, that made me go, they're a receiver away. They're one wide receiver away.
Yeah.
It'll help, for sure. But I don't think they're going to become this juggernaut that everybody thought they were going to be.
No, I totally agree with you.
Woody Johnson, their owner, today told reporters in a room with air in it that thinking is overrated.
Yeah. Well, that's the world we live in right now, Kyle.
Boy, is it.
Right. The Niners, before we go, they did sign Anders Carlson to the practice squad. A kicker. We might have a kicker competition.
Yeah.
In case the other kid can't go this next weekend.
Yeah, God. We'll talk about the 49ers a little bit. We'll talk some about Monday Night Football. The Kings play a preseason game tonight against the Utah Jazz. We'll dive into that as well. We'll have some other NBA news and notes for you. On the Insiders, we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
One of the best rivalries in sports right now is me against my headphone cord.
Oh, no.
Just four times a show, me and this thing are boxing. It's ridiculous.
It's not good.
Figure it out. That's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. Talked about the Kings. Trade of Jalen McDaniels. If you got something to say about that, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Salute to Elk Grove Kia. If you have strong Jalen McDaniels thoughts, or if you have thoughts about what the Kings should do with their newfound cap space, let us know. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. You can also participate in the show at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Love hanging out with the chatty house. You can do that as well. Hey. There's somebody on the Elk Grove Kia talk line.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's going on?
It's Kyle Hammer. What's going on, TC?
TC, what's up, man?
What's up, bro? Hey, listen, so a little bit about the Niners, well, not too much about the Niners. I'll call in later and talk to the homies about that.
No doubt.
As far as the Kings, Monty's opening it up. The trade, he's opening it up to be flexible. It's back to what he's always been saying from day one, of being flexible. And when it's time to strike for a big fish, like he struck for DeRozan, bro. So this is opening it up, in my opinion, to open it up for another move. I heard you earlier, Ham, yesterday when you were saying that, bro. And every time we talk about that, bro, it happens. Monty is always thinking ahead, bro, so I'm with it. So
perfect. Thanks, TC. Appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, I mean...
TC, in on Monty McNair, out on Kyle Shanahan. Got it.
I think it's interesting to get, like, look, Monty does always think a few steps ahead, but that doesn't mean that anything is going to happen. Like, I know, like, my partner in crime on the Kings beat, Sean Cunningham, said this is like this deal was in the works and there's another deal.
Mm.
It will likely, there will be another deal. But we don't know what that is, like whether that's signing again a league minimum guy right now or whatever. Like there's all kinds of things that could happen here at this point. I'm just not convinced that it's that there's something imminent. Like I wish there was, and I wish it was something that would happen and like at 11:12, and so we can,
that'd be great,
roll with it for the last 48 minutes of the show.
Yeah, sometime in the next like 35 minutes would be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. But I also know that Monty McNair is about as methodical a general manager as you're going to find.
Sometimes frustratingly so.
Yes. Yeah. So I mean, for every time that we thought that a trade was imminent before the trade deadline, and then you end up with, a couple of small trades or, you know, like Robin Lopez for the
sure.
second time.
Kings legend.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a jersey I'll get.
Just
a Robin Lopez Kings jersey?
Yeah. No, that's classic. That'd be a classic one.
That would go double platinum at Coachella 2028.
It's twice he's been traded to the Kings.
Cool. Get two jerseys then. Today, 4 p.m., ALCS Game 2 between the Guardians and the Yankees. is right here on ESPN 1320. We'll talk a little baseball a little bit later on. TC said he's going to call in later to D'Lo and Casey to talk about the Niners. We're going to talk about the Niners right now. Just a quick note from yesterday. The 49ers opened Ricky Pearsall's practice window. That is good news for a couple of reasons. One, it means Ricky Pearsall's all good after being shot through the chest during an attempted robbery the weekend before the season began. So they opened his practice window. So he gets 21 days to practice.
Okay.
Before, not 21 practices, 21 days. So 3 Mondays from now, the 49ers will have to make a decision on whether to activate him or keep him on IR for the rest of the year. Or he would revert to IR because he's on the non-football injury list right now. He would go to IR. It's kind of interesting, the timing, because I was kind of wondering, because the 21st day is the Monday after their bye week. So the 21st day will be November 4th. Their bye week is November 3rd. That's the Sunday they don't play.
Okay.
So I initially thought that they were wasting a week because they would be off for the bye the week before. So days, whatever that would be, 16 through 21, they're off, basically. But they got a bonus practice in yesterday that he was there for, he was in attendance for. And then they might practice once or twice during the bye. So he basically gets the same amount of practice as he would have gotten, and then they can make a decision that Monday after the bye week. So it's just good news that he's back in practice and out running around and doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think that this means he's going to contribute this year, because he's already missed so much time. He missed the first part of training camp with a hamstring injury, returned to practice from that, and immediately suffered a shoulder injury that had him out of preseason games and out of practice for a while. And then when he did return to practice, he was in a non-contact jersey. And then he suffers a gunshot wound and goes on the it's NFI casual. List, which is just insane.
Absolutely.
Like, do you know how bonkers I feel as a person writing about, I did an updated where the 49ers, they have 11 players on injured lists right now. That's the PUP list, the IR, and the NFI, the non-football injury list.
Mm-hmm.
And PUP is physically unable to perform. Difference there is non-football injury is something that happened away from the facility. So if you get shot during an attempted robbery, if you're training during the offseason at home and you strain your back,
got it,
you would go on the NFI list. Physically unable to perform is where like Drake Jackson and Dre Greenlaw are, because those are injuries that happened in the course of football, but like from the previous year.
Yeah.
Drake Jackson tore his patellar tendon last year, and Dre Greenlaw, of course, tore his Achilles in the Super Bowl. So they go on the physically unable to perform list. They act basically the same. They're just called something different. And then there's injured reserve, which everybody knows what IR is. So I was doing an update yesterday on the players on those injured lists and whether they can come back this season, whether they're eligible to come back, when they're eligible to come back, all that stuff, just kind of trying to get it all in one place. And Christian McCaffrey has been dealing with Achilles tendonitis. Drake Jackson tore his patellar tendon. Javon Hargrave tore his triceps.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Pearsall was shot in the chest. It sounds insane.
Yeah, that's wild.
Because you just have to write it like it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say this insane thing that happened to him. Like, you just have to go, yeah, this. Here's the thing that happened. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills when I do that.
You know what's crazy is that he's not the first NFL player this has happened to.
Yeah, not even like it. Recently, it happened.
Yeah, I mean, didn't Brian Robinson?
Yes, last season, I think.
Like shot through the leg or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy that this happens. And like, look, I don't think, I know people in the chat like believe that Pearsall, like Tyler Jennings, that Pearsall could make a huge impact this season. I don't think Ricky Pearsall is going to make a huge impact this season. Just because, like, look, they can't even figure out how to get Juwan Jennings catches when, you know, through the first 3 weeks of the season, he's leading the NFL in receiving yards. All of a sudden, it's really tough to find spots for him. You got to pick and choose, and like they have so many weapons. So I have a tough time believing he's going to be a huge player this year. But the fact that he's making a return and that he survived a gunshot wound to the chest and that, you know, like there's a potential for him to still have a career after this is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's and it's not it has nothing to do with whether Ricky Pearsall is good at football or not.
Not at all. Yeah.
It's just we know how difficult this offense is historically for rookie wide receivers and he has already missed so much time.
Oh yeah, totally.
And during the week he's back in practice and he's getting to do individual drills and stuff, but you're not getting a ton of reps and they're not going to stop practice to make sure that you know what you're doing. And that's not a knock on him. It's just like, hey, you haven't been around.
Hey, I've said the same exact thing about Devin Carter. Like Devin Carter thinks yes. He's just going to step on the floor in January when he gets cleared, he's going to go to the G League, play a couple of games and he'll be up with the team ready to roll. It's like, mm-hmm. Man, like there's a big difference between Trey Lyles missing 3 weeks or yes. Or Kevin Herter missing 6 months and then being able to step right back onto the
court. Somebody who's been there and been around.
They know the drill. They know what the plan is. They know what's happening. Like mm-hmm. There's a big difference between that and a rookie. And Pearsall's a rookie. There's no way he's missed so much time already.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was, you know, the gunshot wound. Another part was all the other injuries.
Yeah, two separate injuries.
Yeah, it's just really, really difficult to see how he can make it. But, hey, maybe I'm wrong. I've been proven wrong before on these things. Like,
sure. Maybe he picks it up super fast and they plug him into the offense right away. But we're already seeing that Jacob Cowing's having such a difficult time just cracking the rotation, like figuring out a way to get on the field a little, mm-hmm. even when wide receivers are hurt. So it's if Juwan Jennings and Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are all healthy, there's just not going to be, they don't run a ton of like four receiver sets.
No.
I really don't.
Especially once they get McCaffrey back.
Like, yeah, this year I don't see a path for Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
I saw Russ Dog say they should redshirt him this year. Russ Dog in the chatty house, like, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Mm-hmm.
If they go through these practices and go, man, you know what? He's just not going to get up to speed this year. We're not going to waste a roster spot. We're gonna just put him on IR for the year.
Yeah.
That wouldn't shock me, but they opened his window now for a reason. They think he can contribute in some way. And maybe it is the return game. Maybe they've watched Jacob Cowing and they go, okay, he's fine, but we think Ricky Pearsall could be better there. Okay. Then maybe it's that. I just don't, as far as offense goes, I don't think he's going to have an impact this year.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the
next
one thing.
Year, though, I will be watching him closely.
Yeah, I think so too. I would say the one thing about this is it is such a feel-good story that maybe you do bring him back and you do give him an opportunity to step on the field and you have this momentum mm-hmm. for next season. And, you know, again, a guy who survives a gun. It's such a good story.
Yes.
And the team it seems to be rallying around him a mm-hmm. lot right now. So maybe it is something that you do and you know, whether he's going to be super productive or not, you do use a roster spot on him just because.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's where Ricky Pearsall is. Hopefully he gets to play and gets on the field and is productive. That would be great. Mm-hmm. Definitely rooting for him. The other 49ers thing I wanted to get to this yesterday and we just got sidetracked, but I think we talked about this a little bit last week, was their offensive identity or their lack of it. Like, what are they doing? What is this version of the offense where they're turning Brock Purdy into a drop back passer? And it's been okay pushing the ball downfield a ton. Mm-hmm. Pro Football Focus has a stat called turnover worthy plays, and his turnover worthy play rate is down to like 1.8% after being at 3.2 last year. It's one of the lowest in the league, despite pushing the ball down the field more. It's been impressive, but it's not what their identity is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really clear they have this awesome running back. They could potentially be getting Christian McCaffrey back. They're going to be a run-based football team. And that's what it's always been under Kyle Shanahan, right? It's been run the football,
yep.
Run play action, get linebackers moving the wrong way, clear out the middle of the field, and let the quarterback work. Well, this year they had gone away from play action a ton. They went from like 26% in 2022, 23% in 23, and then it was down to like 17.6% this year. It's one of the lowest play action rates in the league.
Mm.
And the reason you do play action is it's very simple. You fake the handoff to get linebackers moving forward or to get safeties moving forward.
Yep.
And what Brock Purdy, and he's I'm not going to read all the numbers, but he's much better in play action than not. He's been good without it, but he's elite in play action. A lot of quarterbacks are better there because if you're trying to throw it into the middle of the field and a linebacker who was in the middle of the field is all of a sudden standing at the line of scrimmage because he thinks there's a running play coming, mm-hmm. the middle of the field's now open. It is that simple.
Yep. You also get the shift. Like what you do, you run to the left, you roll out to the right.
Yep.
So everyone's shifting to the left and now it opens up the right side of the field.
Yep.
So you're hoping that you get some advantage there.
Mm-hmm. Creating open throws, creating throwing lines.
It does seem strange that they haven't done this a lot with Brock this year.
Yeah, very odd. But against the Seahawks, the 49ers had their highest offensive output of the year in points, in yards. Mm-hmm. They ran it for 228 yards. And what do you know? They're in play action 29% of the time against the Seahawks.
Oh.
And I think what we're seeing with them is they're trying to find the happy medium between, hey, this defense is not it. This defense is not going to be a top 10, top 12 unit this year. So how do we win shootouts? I think that's what they're trying to figure out right now.
Yeah.
And you initially think about that and you go, you win shootouts by dropping back and throwing it. But I think what we're seeing with the 49ers, and I think what we saw against Seattle, and I think what we're going to kind of continue to see, is finding this happy medium between, hey, when they get behind their run game and they're running play action, it, A, makes passing the ball a lot easier, but B, it starts to open up things in the run game because now you're not getting linebackers and safeties committing to the run in the same way.
Yeah.
Now they're going to think about it. And in the NFL, that's so much. I had a friend that played for Chip Kelly in college. And he talked about how, in Philly. And he talked about how the offensive philosophy there was you want to get the person to make one wrong step. Mm. That's all you're trying to do with your misdirection. Because one wrong step is the difference between a gain of 3 and a gain of 10.
Okay.
Because that linebacker is now, instead of being in that gap, they're a step late. And now you're able to run through that tackle. Or make a miss entirely. So that's where you start running play action. Now you got people thinking. When you're not running play action a ton, those linebackers don't have to think the same way. The safeties don't have to think the same way. They can just commit and play full speed football. And I think what you saw against the Seahawks was you had Kyle Shanahan putting that defense in a little bit of a blender by running a ton of play action. It's so simple. It's so easy. And I don't know why they weren't doing it more to this point.
Yeah, I almost wonder if Shanahan is building Brock Purdy as like his quarterback mind in a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not trying to teach him how to do different things, other not to just rely on the rollout, on the play action.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's trying to make him a more complete quarterback by throwing all of these different looks in. So when they do get to a certain point in the season where you might need him to be a pocket passer for two games against some sort of specific defense or something, that you have more. I think a lot of developing a young quarterback is this. It's not just what you can do in practice. It's what you can, live simulate in a game and like give them like an understanding of what's happening, make them better at reading the field, read the field in a different way from, different positions on the field. So it's possible that it's just part of a larger game that he's trying to add to Brock Purdy's bag.
Maybe.
And that you lost a couple of games that you shouldn't have lost, for sure. But again, I don't know that any of those were really on Brock Purdy. There certainly, you could say Brock Purdy didn't go win those games.
Yeah.
But were they on Brock that you lost the game?
Sure.
And I think that at the end of the day, we all know that the bigger issue is that the Niners can't get people off the field on third down.
I would agree.
So there's a much bigger issue there. And so you're trying to grow a young player who's a centerpiece. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a huge part of what you're doing. And you have to know what he can and can't do on the field.
Yeah.
And you can't just say, hey, we're just going to roll out all the time, because it does, like, that does limit you.
Mm-hmm.
It limits you to, like, everything
you're
that's
eliminating
in front of
half of the field.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's tinkering and growing his quarterback in a different way.
Sure. Mitch in New Jersey, it's time for everybody's favorite radio segment, is on the Elk Grove Kid Talk Line. Mitch, what's up, man?
What's happening, guys? Nice to talk to you.
You too. What's up, buddy?
Looks like the 49ers found themselves another running back.
Yeah.
Isaac Renato. If I pronounced that name correctly, it wouldn't be the first time.
Okay, we know what you mean, Mitch. Isaac Garendo is who you're looking for.
Isaac Garendo?
Yeah, okay. Nailed it.
Well, he looks like, they find quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. And I'm hoping Ricky Purcell can start, get some playing time and just be more power, more offense, because kind of what we're lacking now. And with the Lions losing a big key guy in the defensive line, that was a freak injury to a – he looked like he was going to have a great – he looks like he's got a great career ahead of him. I would put that the 49ers are a favorite to get to the Super Bowl, probably play the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh.
All right. I'm
a little ahead of myself, right?
Maybe a little bit, but it's all good, Mitch. I love it. Okay. Appreciate the call, buddy.
Thanks.
Yep. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I want to talk about the top five teams in the NFL because I genuinely right now, if you tried to pick like a Super Bowl favorite, I don't know that I have one.
No.
But we can get to it. I want to dig into that a little later. Yeah, Isaac Garendo was good the other night. He finally hit that run that we've been kind of waiting for him to hit because it was outside zone. It's there. Oh, nope. Falls down immediately 4 yards. And that's nice if you can pick up, if you can just plug away in 3, 4, 5 yards here. But at some point, you have to hit that home run, and he finally did.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, too, it's one of those things where once you get that big run one time in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
now he's going to be craving and looking for that.
Yeah, you just kind of see it different.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. before he was, fighting it a little, not being patient enough, again, just rushing things, running into the back of his offensive lineman a couple of times. Once you get the pace, once you get the speed of what's happening and you calm down,
mm-hmm.
I think it really does help a young running back. And then once he gets the big play, now it's like, okay, I did it once. I can do it at this level. Like, where's it at again?
Yeah.
Because that guy's probably like in his football playing career, whether it's high school or college,
mm-hmm.
he's probably had, 50 runs over 50 yards. Like that's the type of speed he has. And you're just waiting to see that you can do it.
Sure.
At the pro level. And if you can, now it's like, okay, how do I do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely an adjustment, adjusting to the speed, adjusting to, like you said, just the pace and having the patience to know that, okay, that's going to open up. I got to let my blockers get set up. You're not just going to outrun everybody. So hopefully you start seeing more from Isaac Garendo. I want to have a larger conversation about the 49ers running back room. But we can push that. What's funny?
The Chatty House is killing me. Chatty House. You're just killing me, Chatty House. Chris Juvenile, you're killing me. That's just, yeah. You're killing me, Smalls.
916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Hey, we got some tickets to give away to the Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival. That's this week. Starts this Friday.
This Friday.
We're giving away tickets to it.
I've heard there's exciting people there, Kyle.
Boy, there sure are. We'll tell you who they are coming up. But we're giving away those tickets. We got some more King stuff to get to. We got MLB playoffs and some more NBA news and notes to get to as well. Plenty coming up in the second hour. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. What?
No, nothing.
What?
You watch the clock. I don't see the clock. Just go.
Okay, we're going to give away these tickets next, and we'll have plenty more coming up in the second hour. He's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, we're the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Theater.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.